Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is November 8th, 2017. Now, today, it's like I'm interviewing my twin. Because his name is Kevin Cushing, which has the same name I have. We're about the same age. Kevin, you're about a year older than I am.
Yeah.
I think a year older. We have both grew up in the church. We both had dads that are pastors.
Right.
So it means we're messed up by church. So anyway, welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you, first of all, and I ask everyone this question, how did you find this church?
Well, my wife and I moved into the area of the west part of Culver City about 15 years ago. 15? And my wife had been a music pastor at a small church in Burbank, and we were still driving up to that church, okay. And it was really hard. So we kind of wanted to find a more local church, but right. We didn't really know which ones. And, you know, I would drive by this building sometimes and just be curious what went on. It had a name that I grew up going to churches that were always called Christian Church, the blah, blah Christian Church. And so when I saw Marina Christian Fellowship, I was like, well, I'll go. So I told Lisa one day, I was like, well, you know, I said, do you want to go visit? And I think she wasn't feeling well. So I came on my own.
Okay.
And I liked it, and I liked you, and right. I liked your preaching, and I found it really genuine. And so I recommended she come back, and she came back, and she liked it. And then we started attending. And pretty soon after that, I think I started singing with Brooke a lot on the worship team pretty right. regularly. And so it quickly became a home for us.
Yeah, 15 years ago. So I think you're the longest that's been at this church that I've interviewed on the podcast.
Wow.
And you're still coming, which is a miracle in itself.
I know, it's amazing.
And you know what's really interesting, too, is what I found out about Lisa. She was on the worship team way back before I came here at Rocky Peak Church.
Yes.
And I was going to that church yeah. on a Saturday night, did not know Lisa at all. So it's just a small world out there.
When Lisa and I were dating, she was still going to Rocky Peak. And
yeah.
I kind of pulled her to my church for a while, and then she got this music pastor gig.
Rocky Peak was a good church. I haven't been in a long, long time, probably about 20 years.
Yeah.
But it meant a lot to me because it was a really healing aspect for me. So, yeah, how many kids do you have?
I have two boys, and they're 11 and 14 now. They just started 6th grade and 9th grade.
Good night. And I had the privilege of dedicating or / baptizing them when they were young, and so, my goodness, we are getting old.
So anyway. Having those two kids keeps you younger, I'll tell you that.
Now, you have a brother?
Yeah, I have an older brother and an older sister. I lost my older sister a year ago to a car accident, but they're much older. You know, we're kind of really spread right. out. So my sister was 14 years older, and my brother 7 years older than me.
Wow, so you were a little baby.
Yeah.
So you lost your sister just in a car accident?
Yeah, she was up in Oregon for work. She traveled a lot, okay. and she had some kind of a incident where she either blacked out or maybe she had a heart attack. It's hard to say, but her car kind of veered off and just had a head-on collision.
Wow.
Yeah. She died pretty instantly, they said.
So, well, that's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I've never lost a sibling because I have a brother. That's got to kill you in some sense.
It was really hard. In some way, you know, I wasn't seeing her as often. I was
right.
only, you know, seeing her maybe once a month at the mm-hmm. most. I just happened to visit her with my boys about a week and a half before she died.
Okay.
So it really was special that we got to spend that time together.
Right.
And she was, my sister was a really strong, dynamic person. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for women because I have two strong women in my life. My mother and my sister were
right.
very strong people.
Right.
And because of that, when I see women, I think of them as empowered and strong and capable. And
right.
that's the kind of person my sister was. And so if I needed a pep talk or, you know, kind of encouragement that
right.
I could do something, she was kind of my go-to person.
And you were like the little brother.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I'm assuming she treated you like the little brother.
Yeah, yeah. You know, with her being like 14 years older than me,
right.
that means like when I was 16, she was like 30. She was
yeah.
already a career person.
Right.
And she's taking me to restaurants and showing me how proper manners. That she was always worried because my parents.
Proper manners.
Exactly.
You fed yourself with your hands.
Well, she was working in Newport Beach among all these rich people, and she was worried I was growing up all uncouth. You know, so she taught me how to use chopsticks and you know,
that's
like how
funny.
To what forks to use and all that stuff. You know,
and your brother. What does he do?
He's been a principal of a Christian elementary school for the
okay.
same school for over 30 years now.
Wow.
So he's had his career in one place literally from the beginning.
That's great. And back, I think 5 or 7 years ago, I can't remember, he asked me to speak at one of his temples.
Yeah.
A long time ago. So it's out. Where is the school?
It's now in Anaheim Hills. It was originally in the city of Orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember I drove a long way to speak. So you got a good brother there. And so one thing I want to talk about too is your mom. And what was interesting, I had such an incredible experience, and I met your sister at your mom's funeral.
Yes.
That your mother was determined. Now, she grew up as a pastor's wife, she grew up in the church, but she wanted to be baptized. And not only baptized, she wanted to be immersed.
Right.
So tell me about that.
Well, in the denomination that I grew up in, baptism was a huge emphasis. It was the kind of church where if you accepted Christ, if you came forward and said, I want to be a Christian, they got you in the baptistry within a week. You know, there was no waiting. It was just baptism was what you did. And so that was my mother's orientation. And she had been baptized as a teenager at a Pentecostal church, but she had not felt like it was a very satisfying thing. She was afraid. She'd heard some sermon that scared her, and she was worried about going to hell, and she came forward, and she got baptized in that environment.
Okay.
She wasn't really a committed Christian until she and my dad met the Lord in their early 30s.
Okay.
And that's when their lives turned around, and my dad decided to go into the ministry. They got very active in their church. So all these years it had plagued my mom that when she was baptized way back when she was a teenager, she felt like it wasn't really what her heart wanted. It was more out of fear.
Yeah.
And she was getting old, and she was about 80 or so, I think when we did this, or over 80. And she really was worried that, somehow her baptism wasn't legitimate, And it was crazy because she'd served the Lord for all these years and, was passionate about God. But she really wanted to have a baptism that was of her own free will, and that she was, and by this time she was having trouble walking, so to get into a baptistry and even really to get wet in front of people, all of that, was just, she hated to get her hair wet. She always loved to have her hair done.
Yeah.
So it called for a lot of faith for her to even do this.
And a lot of humility too.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, because I remember talking to you and say, why don't we just sprinkle it? Just sprinkle, because your mother was on a walker as well.
Yeah.
And so if you've seen our baptism, you have to go up 5 steps and down 4 steps, turn around and sit down.
That's right.
In order for her to be baptized. And so we decided to do the baptism after the service. And sure enough, your mom, and I can still picture her, she had her kind of robe thing that she was wearing. And she wore a plastic thing on her hair.
Yeah.
To keep her hair dry.
Right.
And it took 15 minutes to get her up and down and baptized, but she struggled and did it and was completely baptized.
It was really important to her to be immersed. Again, in the denomination we came from, immersion was kind of the form of baptism that they recognized. So.
Yeah. So another thing I want to talk to you about too is I've noticed in the last, Pastor Reuben, who's lost 80, 90 pounds. Mm. Al Johnson, who lost 110 pounds.
I didn't recognize him a few weeks ago.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Lillian lost 70 pounds. And so, and then Keisha is doing the same coach, the same workout, the same thing. And so there's a lot of people in the church that are just doing this. You're 5 years in advance from them, because about 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago, you went through this transformation yourself, a physical transformation of losing weight and being disciplined. So how did that start? Did you all of a sudden go look in the mirror like I did and go, oh, good night, you gotta be kidding?
Well, I'd had periods of being more fit in my life. I ran in high school some, and in my 30s I went through a good period of being pretty fit and running a lot. But after we had our kids, that's when I became pretty inactive and, wasn't consistent with exercise and just the stresses of life. My whole family struggled with weight, and my brother, my sister, my mother were all really overweight.
Okay.
And I would always often have 30 to 50 extra pounds.
Right.
And it wasn't like people viewed me as being fat, because it's weird in our society these days. When if somebody has 40, 50 pounds, sometimes they look kind of normal to us. It takes 80 to 100 before you start thinking they're heavy. So But I was not happy. I'd been an actor, so I have just enough vanity to really worry about how I look. And,
That's
true. Okay. And so I wasn't happy with how I felt and how I looked. It didn't fit the image that I had of myself and how I wanted to be. And about in 2013, a lot was happening. So my son had a pretty significant illness and needed a hospitalization.
Right.
We were getting therapy for him. And my wife and I were having a lot of conflict, and it was really difficult to, you know, work through that. And I wasn't that happy with my job. My job was at a good place, but I wasn't satisfied with what I was doing. So all these things, you know, I mean, those were major stressors in my life. And then as I looked at all these things, it's like on top of it all, when I looked at myself in the mirror, I didn't like what I see. People, they would grab photos of me at work and put me into PowerPoint presentations, like, here's your presenter today. And I'd see that picture, and it's like, I hated the way I looked. It really bothered me.
Right.
And I'd sometimes ask them, can we take that picture down? You know?
Can we just do something from the neck up?
Yeah, I just wasn't proud of the way I looked, and it was a bad feeling. Right. And so as I thought about it, I felt overwhelmed by all these things going on, all this stress, all these issues. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me one day, it's like, well, okay, of all the things that I'm worried about right now, there actually is one thing that I could do something about if I chose to. There's one thing that's completely in my control.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's actually my weight and my fitness. I said, like, nobody's forcing me to put food in my mouth. So if I got on a program and was consistent, you know, that is something I could address. And it seemed kind of weird because it seemed like the least important of the things I just listed, it probably was the least important in a way.
Right.
But, you know, I think sometimes people don't even start a weight or fitness program because they kind of put it off and they think, well, I've got these major things going on in my life.
Right.
And when I put those aside, when I get through that, then I'll finally do something for myself.
Right.
I'll address my health. But I kind of had the opposite experience. What I did was I knew I had been on Weight Watchers a couple of times, and I was like, I know it's a good program. I know if I follow it, it's pretty simple once you actually
commit. Okay, so you signed up for it.
And for Weight Watchers, yeah.
And then didn't follow through.
No, in the past.
In the past.
Yeah,
in the past.
So, but this time, 2013, I was ready to go back, and this time I was going to see it all the way through.
What made the difference? Well, what made the difference like you did it before? Because there's times that I look in the mirror and I go, okay, I'm like, to be honest with you, I was determined that I was going to hike Half Dome this coming summer.
Yeah.
Have I started exercising? No. I want to do it. So there's something that clicked in your head.
Yes.
What was the difference?
Desperation.
Desperation.
I wanted the things I mentioned, you know, I clicked them off really fast here, but these were major painful things going on in my life. And I desperately wanted something to go well. I wanted a win in my life, something to have
a victory. Good point.
You know? And I realized that, like, I could do something about that. And, you know, some of the things people might say in their head is like, well, that's selfish. You know, you've got your children to worry about. You've got your marriage to worry about. You've got your job, you know, and you're just going to focus on this thing that is just about you.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, you know, I think that our enemy would want us to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I realized that I wanted to. And what was encouraging was when I showed up at Weight Watchers just with this totally, you know, humble attitude, like, you know, just tell me what to do. I'm going to do it, whatever you say.
So you were with a group of people?
Yeah, Weight Watchers is a weekly meeting.
Okay.
It's a lot of older women, to be honest. So it wasn't exactly my crowd, but there were a few men. And, you know, and everybody was supportive. But what was cool was the leader, she turned out to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And she really exuded, you know, Christ. I could, you know, I quickly discovered that she was a Christian.
Right.
She also was a high school teacher. That was her day job.
Okay.
And so she was really encouraging. And she said two things to me when I, you know, the first week I showed up. She said, I want you to do the following two things. She goes, if you do those two things consistently, she goes, you'll lose all your weight.
Really?
And she said, I want you to come every week.
Okay.
And I want you to write down everything you eat. In other words, she wasn't telling me to eat less or follow the program. She was just saying, just show up and write down everything.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. You know, and they have apps now that make it easy to track. You know, you don't have to use a paper diary anymore. So I did that. I committed to showing up every week, and I was really consistent with tracking all my eating. Now, I ended up following the program.
Right.
I mean, as long as I'm writing it all down, you know, I didn't want to be there and not have any results to show for it. So I was very motivated. And so I would come every week, and Monday, you know, early evening, And it would be my reset time, just like church, you know, should be our reset time to really think, you know, Lord, where am I in my relationship with you? Mm-hmm. You know, my Weight Watchers meeting was my time. I would come early and I'd think about how my week had gone, what went well, what didn't go well, what might I want to change. And it was really my time to reflect and remind myself that I was committed to this.
Right.
And, you know, not every week did I lose weight. You know, it took me about 32 weeks to lose the 50 pounds. And of the 32, probably 10 of the weeks, I went up a little bit. Because your body does that. You can be perfectly consistent, and you'll still have weeks where you fluctuate. So those are the weeks where I had to go, okay, do I need to change something? Am I, you know, am I really being honest with the way I'm tracking my, you know, because they give you a budget of points, basically, for food. Like, am I fudging a little bit, maybe over? So those would be my times to think through all those issues and kind of give my week a new focus.
Now, why do they ask you? It's interesting. They said two things. Come here consistently every week and write down all the food you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important? Because I can't imagine them going, okay, oh, I had a grape, I got to write that. I had this, I got to write that. That's a lot of work.
Well, fortunately, they did a couple things to change the program to make it better. They let you have unlimited fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables. So I don't write down my fruits and vegetables because it doesn't count for any points in their system.
Right.
So that's a great help because if you're really, like, if you're out of points, if you've kind of already eaten a lot that day, you're still hungry, I can go to fruit, I can go to vegetables, you know. So that's good.
I go to ice cream and I go to But you can eat some enjoyable.
Well, that's the cool thing about Weight Watchers and why it works for me is, you know, they always say don't do anything to lose weight that you're not willing to do for the rest of your life. So many people go on a program and they restrict themselves from something that they really love.
Right.
And the problem is that then when they get down to the weight that they wanted to be at, they go back to those things and they've never learned how to manage that desire. Okay. That, you know, for me, it's ice cream. I'm a huge lover of ice cream.
Yeah, me too.
And I can pass up cookies and cakes pretty easily, but ice cream is hard.
Right.
So I had to learn how to incorporate ice cream as part of what I would eat regularly, but, you know, keep it within my budget. It's just like a financial budget. You know, if you have limited money and if there's something you really want to buy, you know, you have to save money.
Yeah.
There's other things you have to do without so that you can buy the thing you really want.
Right.
It's the same with the ice cream. If I really want it, there's some things that, you know, I might do without.
Right.
Or other thing is I found a substitute, some go-tos. I've found, like, I do a certain kind of smoothie now that I use, like, a protein drink with a banana, some dates, and some ice.
Right.
And so if I don't have enough points to have ice cream, that makes, like, a milkshake that tastes really good to me, and it's just super low in points.
How long did it take you for this to become a natural thing, like a habit? Because I would assume, like, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's just like, oh, this is hard. But I'm assuming, because it's been 4.5 years.
Yeah. And the hardest thing is after you know, it's fun to be losing the weight because they celebrate every 5 pounds, every time you've lost 5%, you've lost 10%.
Okay.
There's lots of celebrating while you lose.
Right.
Then you get there, huge celebration. He's at his goal. Oh, he stayed at his goal for 6 weeks. He's on lifetime maintenance. So, and then all of a sudden,
lifetime maintenance. What's that?
That's in Weight Watchers. That's if you've been at your goal and you stay there for 6 weeks and you don't go more than 2 pounds above, then they give you free membership for life as long as you're at your weight.
Oh wow!
So there's a lot of people who've been on Weight Watchers and have gained their weight back, and they're too embarrassed to go back because now they know they have to pay again. You know?
Yeah.
But I can actually go to all the meetings for free. I don't pay anymore because I've maintained my weight. But that's the thing. The celebrations stop. You're not like, okay, I've been at my goal. And what you realize is being thin doesn't make you happy. You know, it's like, you know, I have this image. It's like, I'm happy. I feel better.
Yeah.
There's a million gains. You know, my clothes fit better. I feel better about how I look. I'm healthier. And by the way, I added a lot of exercise eventually and started running a lot. So, but then I realized, like, but it really doesn't make you happy. And that's what I think a lot of people, they may get to that goal and go and be seeking something like happiness.
Right.
And it's not going to give it to you.
Because they're looking on the outside going, I look good, I did it. But
and now
inside,
I still feel
incomplete.
That's
interesting.
You know, so the hardest thing is the maintaining. And I guess what I wanted to say about that was I finally feel, after having gone through a few years of cycles, the seasons, the holidays, it's like, I really feel like I have a handle on this now. Cause, and maintaining your weight has been a struggle. There have been times when I've been tempted to go back. But now I feel like, no, it's ingrained in me, these habits. And I feel like a sort of a sense of mastery over that area.
Yeah.
It sounds weird to say that because I didn't think I ever would. But looking back, it's like I went through a major surgery this summer, and I was in great shape at the start of the summer, and I had to basically haven't exercised hardly at all for about 3 months now, and that's killed me because I was I had all this conditioning that I've had to kind of let go a little bit, and but I didn't really gain any weight over the summer. I gained maybe like 3 pounds, and I was basically like laying around on a couch. So that told me, it's like, I've got this, I really know how to do this. And I'm excited because in a couple weeks I can start to jog again, and end of the year I can run hard. So I know I'll get that conditioning back.
Let me ask you this. We grew up in the church, and we're called to be disciples, followers of Christ. Do you notice there's a connection between the discipline that you learned in Weight Watchers and the disciplines that you apply on a spiritual level to, how what you learned in Weight Watchers can apply to more than just weight, but other aspects of your life?
Yeah, well, I think of those two principles that she told me to focus on, right? Okay. She said, show up every week.
Right.
And write down everything that you eat.
Okay.
So what is that? Showing up every week just means, that you're going to connect with God, whether it's your daily quiet time and you're consistent about it and you just kind of show up and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you doing in my life right now?
Right.
What are you trying to teach me through my church, through the people around me? So I think that's super important. And then the writing down everything you eat, that's accountability, right? That's about being honest about what you did.
Right.
Understanding that your behavior, and owning it.
Right.
And so I think we have to have both of those elements in order to grow,
And I'm sure that even on accountability, when you fudge on your writings and stuff and you say this, your outcome on the weekly meetings will show, like, you're weighing. Like, if you weighed 5 more pounds than you should, and you go, I didn't fudge on anything, obviously the results would say, yes, you did, or you didn't write everything down. So honesty would be
a couple of things. First of all, the victory each week was going to the meeting and knowing that I did the program as best I could.
Right.
So then the scale became less important. You knew eventually the scale would show the progress.
Right.
But if you could show up every week and feel good about what you had done, then you'd already won, basically.
Right.
The scale was just an extra data point.
Okay.
But the other thing is knowing that you're going to go every week, if you've pre-made that commitment, then during the week, when you have that major temptation in front of you and you're trying to choose between a good choice and a bad choice, here's my thought process. I'm thinking like, well, I'm going to show up on Monday night.
Right.
How do I want to feel when I show up on Monday night? Do I want to feel good about this week?
Right.
Or it's like, and I would say to myself, let's say I had lost like 25 or 30 pounds.
Right.
That'd often be the point at which I would have quit in the past. And I'd go, oh, that feels pretty good. I feel good about that. But I really wanted to know what it was like to get all the way down and really get to my goal.
Yeah.
So I would say to myself, I was like, Kevin, I was like, nobody's making you do this. You know, if you want to eat that, go ahead. You know, this, no, you know, it's a free, you have free will.
Yeah.
But I was like, but do you really, are you done?
Right.
Are you finished with this weight loss? Is this the end? And I'd go, no, I don't want to be finished. I really want to know what it's like to be, really fit, really, healthy and thin. And so I would go, well, you're going to show up. So how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
And inevitably that kind of dialogue would kind of get me through that immediate temptation and I'd make another choice.
Well, it's almost like, listening to you, it's almost like going to church every Sunday, and obviously we battle these huge temptations during the week. And it's almost to the point, if we can have the same type of thinking, like, I want to show up on Sunday. How do I want to feel on Sunday? How do I want to do this on Sunday? Do I really need this? And it's almost like you're developing a discipline of thought and thinking it through before you just indulge in something. And I think it can transfer to anything in your life.
Yes.
Can it?
And I think that it's important. It's possible to go to church and really not be involved, just kind of show up. And that's a good first step, I suppose. but really work the program that's available to us at church. Right. In other words, engage with people.
Right.
Talk about your life, to ask them about their life. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the accountability starts.
Right.
And really listen to the message and go, you know, with an open mind, like, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? I always believe that in any message, there's probably about a dozen different things God's saying to different people.
Yeah.
You know, a little story you might tell, you know, might be really important to one person. And so it's important everybody show up and have a sense of, God, what do you want to say to me individually? Because I believe God's talking to each one of us, you know, whether it's through, and it doesn't have to be through the message. It could be through a scripture somebody read. It could be through a song that Brooke chooses, you know.
Absolutely. And going back to the beginning of the conversation with me going to Rocky Peak, I don't remember a thing that guy had said. But all I remember is the Holy Spirit moving in my life through the worship, through the word. Because your heart, when your heart was ready to say, you know, I need to get out of this situation. Because I remember I was totally broken.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. And going back to the disciplines you learned, are you applying this in different areas of your life? For instance, your finances, if they were going wrong, or other areas of your life, or at work?
Yeah.
How does that carry over, or does it carry over?
Well, I did something interesting at the start of this year. I found a lady who's in New York somewhere who'd written some books on organization. And I always felt like, you know, I'm a manager. I have a lot of responsibilities. I'm decently organized. But I did
decently.
But I didn't feel like a sense of mastery over certain things that, you know, were important. So I engaged with her, and she was super, like, you know, it was like $40 to do a session with her.
Right.
And I found out 5 weeks in, she's a Christian.
Right.
And, you know, and she was views this as her ministry. And so we've developed this great, you know, coaching relationship. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, I've been working on now, like, I got my stuff organized, all my possessions, you know. I'm working on, you know, managing my time better. Mm-hmm. She even addresses finances and addressing your goals. You know, do I know at any given time what my goals are? And am I making sure that my goals are being, you know, attended to and that I'm making progress on them?
Right.
So I look back on the weight and I go, okay, that was a successful experience. That feels really good. Now, how can I duplicate that experience in these other areas where I'm, you know, right now I'm at a stage in my life. There are a lot of people who start a diet, they lose half their weight and they go, oh, good. All right, I'm done. You know, that feels pretty good.
Yeah.
And they kind of walk away dissatisfied. They never really get that final result.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I am in some other areas that I'd like, you know, like we talked about, like finances or like, you know, it's like, I'm pretty good, you know, I'm not in crisis over any of those things, but I really would like to get to mastery. I think that would feel wonderful to have those areas feel as in control as I feel now with the fitness and the eating.
Okay.
So that's kind of my new thing. I'm hoping that in 3 to 4 years, I can look back and say that, you know, I got mastery over my money, mastery over the way I handle my possessions, my time.
Right.
So those are things I'm working on with this coach. And I've told her, you know, I said, I really want the Weight Watchers template. I want, she gives me little assignments each week. She, you know, gives me some accountability and we work on stuff.
Yeah. So all through this podcast so far is showing up in accountability,
Yeah.
Is two key things to see your life change.
Right.
Is showing up in accountability. So as we wind the podcast down, I want to ask, let's say someone's listening to this and there's a certain aspect of their life that they're totally undisciplined, you know, and that could be anything. Or even somebody saying, my goodness, Kevin, I need to lose the weight, but I just cannot find it in me to be consistent or to do it, or even spiritually, because you're applying this to your whole life.
Right.
What advice would you give, just saying right at the beginning, this is what some steps you need to think through before you do it?
I think that it's important to start with what you can do. Don't make a goal so big that you're overwhelmed from the start.
Right.
You know, to me, showing up at a Weight Watchers meeting and just listening to those two pieces of advice, you know, it's like, well, I can do that. She wasn't even asking me to lose the weight at that point. So approach something that you think you can control and change a couple of habits and get help. Get people who are good, you know, whether you get into a program, you know, get somebody who's working with you, who has some mastery to give you advice, you know, whether it's, taking a, you know, kingdom finances course, you know, mm-hmm. like we've offered here at the church right. for your finances, you know, get into some kind of a program and then just show up. Don't kill yourself about getting the results and be an all or nothing person. Right. You know, so many people give up because they're all or nothing, but recognize, just put yourself into a process.
Right.
Be consistent with showing up for that process.
Right.
And if you're working with somebody who knows what they're doing, you know, you can get mastery over just about any area.
Right. So the worst thing from anyone to do is say, I'm going to lose 15 pounds a week and I'll lose 100 pounds within a month and a half. And then they don't do it. They give up.
Yeah. Right. Or they go on a crash diet. They lose a lot of weight, but they never really learn the life skills to maintain that.
Yeah.
Remember, don't do anything to lose weight that you're not willing and able to do for the rest of your life.
Right.
That's really
the point. Which, that's a good point, too. And that could apply to every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would give up everything. Like, okay, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give this up. And then they do it very short term.
I remember the very first time Oprah ever lost weight. And this was like over 20 years ago. She went on a crash diet. She went on Slim Fast. And she was doing those milkshakes and a tiny meal every day.
Right.
And she had a big celebration show where she came out at her goal weight. She had like a wagon
with her all her fat.
Yeah. And we all know that she continued to struggle with weight, you know, for years after and went on other programs. And the reason is because Slim Fast doesn't teach you how to eat in life. You know, nobody goes to a restaurant and drinks a Slim Fast shake with all their friends. You know, it's like they don't teach you how to handle real life situations.
Is Slim Fast still around?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, you know, so you're going to lose weight, but are you going to maintain it? Probably not. Probably not. And, you know, so that's what we're trying to avoid. You know, you want to be on a program that you enjoy and you can stick with.
So how does someone, let's say someone's listening and go, I want to get into Weight Watchers. How do they do it? Can they connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And also you can go online, weightwatchers.com. There's meetings everywhere. They have them at every place. So literally when I travel, I show up every week. So if I'm out of town, I'll find Weight Watchers. Absolutely. And it's fun to connect with. You know, now that I'm at my goal weight, the other fun thing is now I can be an encourager to people who are still like early in the journey. And I tell them, you know, what I learned, and I, you know, we exchange tips.
Right.
So, you know, where else can I go every week and get that kind of positive, you know, affirmation with people? You know, like people are like, oh, you look great and congratulations.
Right.
And then I get to help people and it's great.
It's almost like a little church in itself.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful man. I've formed good friendships with some people and I feel like I've had some opportunity to minister to people.
Right.
So it's there's a lot of Christians I find running around behind the scenes at Weight Watchers.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate it. And if you see Kevin at the service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and you're interested, you just sit with him and talk to him about the Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
There's no judging at all. And I know Kevin's very gracious one and he's very willing to share his story and maybe join with the Weight Watchers and do that. Thank you, Kevin, so much. And remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.